Hi, I'm Keegan, and this is A Bunch of Gamers. This is our 156th episode of Werewolf the Apocalypse 20th Anniversary Edition, Gaia's Inferno. I'm going to go around and have my players introduce themselves.
I'm Tyler, and I play Kyle, also known as Guards the Low. He's a Philodox of the Children of Gaia.
Hi, I'm Sam. I play Cora. She's an Aruna in the Geta Fenris.
Hi, I'm Adam. I play Mark Guides the Fallen, and he's a Thurge of the Children of Gaia.
Hi, I'm Sean. I play Zeb, Speaks in Sweet Whispers. He is a Thurge of the Silent Striders.
Hello, my name's Thomas. I play Dimitri Howls in Memory, Lupus Galliard of the Bone Gnawers.
Last time, the Pax had finished up their business with the Fianna at the Sept of the Hidden Glade. Returning to the Sept of the Green and gathering some information, they decided to go to the Sept of the Icy Cry to speak to younger brother and a representative of the Red Talons, speaking and learning of their opinions on the child, with younger brother mostly being in favor of the child surviving. The Pax learned from the Red Talon that their opinions were in the minority and that they should head toward Glacier National Park to gain the insight from some of the most powerful Talons on the continent, a pack named Gaia's Inferno. Now the Pax must prepare to move on. So you've returned to the Sept of the Green. Agatha has once again said that you are free to use the Moonbridge however you want. There is a Moonbridge from the Green to the Five Mirrors, and Five Mirrors can get you to the Sacred Stone. Kyle and Cora, since you've had these, you've been at Sacred Stone for some time. The Sacred Stone also has a connection to the Sept of Tower Falls, which is in Yellowstone National Park. It's a Get Sept. They also have a connection to Sept of the Frozen Hills, which is a younger brother sept that is near the Standing Rock Reservation. Both are pretty good jumping off points, with, I believe, yeah, Tower Falls being the closest. So you could go from Green, Five Mirrors, Sacred Stone, Tower Falls, and that'll cut off some of your travel time.
That sounds the best, definitely.
It does. I don't think we have enough talents.
So it's free for those three septs because of your connections to them.
Oh, okay.
Agatha has said that Sacred Stone, or I'm sorry, the Green will let you through for free.
And then Sacred Stone's ours, so we go through for free there.
Yep. And then Five Mirrors is Mark's old sept.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's fair. Okay.
So it go Green. We're starting in the Green. We're heading to Five Mirrors, to Sacred Stone, to Towers Fall?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to get the order straight.
Correct. And you guys go about 20 miles per hour with stamina rolls per day. So let's find out. So it is an 18-hour run, so that would be about 3 days running from Tower Falls. All right. So that sounds like that's the plan.
Yeah, I guess.
If that's the shortest route, definitely, yeah. Considering the concordance is just a month away now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I remember right.
Yeah, about, because it's in April, so.
Oh, yeah, 53 days or something now? 50 now?
Yeah, because once you get there, it would be March 2nd once you get to the Glacier National Park. So I do need 3 stamina athletics rolls. Diff 7 for everyone, and then diff, I believe, 9 for Mark. And let's see. So it looks like Dimitri, you failed. Kyle, you failed. So you'll take 1 lethal damage, and it won't heal until you've had a day of rest. And you'll have to make another roll, because it's per day. So you have to do this roll 3 times.
Okay.
Hey.
Mark takes a lethal.
Yep.
And what do...
You didn't botch, so it's just a lethal.
Okay.
Hey, we made it this time.
Yeah, but the first day, like, Cora used all of her stamina, just like, yeah! Sprinter.
And it's 3 days, right?
Yes.
Ooh, barely make it. I'm a huffing, I'm puffing, I'm wheezing.
You're huffing, you're puffing, you're wheezing. Like you've literally almost like bled out your strength and stamina on this forced march. As you run across the hills and the mountains, as you crest over and you feel just the calm of everything. The sept is supposedly west of this place, but you can already feel the primordial nature of it. The mountains climbing up, the sheets of ice that have lost and been receding over the summers, but have gained at least a little bit of snow and ice this past winter. You'll have to follow your nose. And so, whoever has the highest perception, primal urge, with the lupus difficulty accounted for, diff 7. So, 6, it looks like Korra? Oh, Zeb. Zeb.
Zebulon.
Is it really Zeb? Oh my god. Okay.
You catch it on the wind. It is the smell of wolves. As you start to travel, you travel for basically another day, slowing down, trying to find the signs, listening, until finally you see it just outside perception, but then you see it there, the glyphs written upon the trees. You are here. You are at the edge of the Red Talons territory.
Let's give a howl of greeting then.
All right, howls in memory. It's going to sound weird if it comes from Hamadborn trying to howl across here. So I think you're the person for the job. You're the wolf for the job.
All right. Dimitri will go ahead and give the howl of introduction. Introducing the ill omens first and then Famori's bane.
So you do so as you wait quietly as you hear the birds flutter away. And then you hear the howl back. And it is very gruff, and it is telling you to wait.
And so we wait.
After a couple minutes, an hour or so, 4 Garu approach you. The first is a wolf of considerable size, fur like midnight, with a patch that looks crimson like blood in 3 streaks, like a badge upon its chest. The next, rusty red fur covering only half of his body, the rest covered in a massive burn scar, sizzling and crackling away, that seems to still give off bits of heat. The next is harder to see as she shimmers back and forth between the trees. She is a gray wolf with patches of gray and black and the same sort of reddish patch, though across her cheeks, creating kind of an outline break upon her face. And finally, the last one, she arrives. She walks before the rest as she moves forward. She has an earthier pelt with patches and scuffs that look like dried blood, but is simply the color of her coat. The half-burned one speaks. I am Blazing River, Thurge, Elder, Red Talons, Gaia's Inferno. I had seen a bird swift, carrying a clave within a worm beast's heart. Gaia has told of your coming.
News and prophecy. I am Speaks in Sweet Whispers, Alpha of Ill Omens. News. The Baba Yaga stone cairn falls.
It has been
nothing.
Heard.
Nothing. Now prophecy. The cub born.
It has been heard.
The cub spared. For now. Connected to Phoenix. Its death reach far in the Umbra. We do not understand.
Is this from your totem, Owl? As Blazing River approaches, the great wolf starts to circle you, sniffing. I've been told Owl brings prophecy. How, I wonder? Do you listen to the wind, even when it does not scream? Or your totem's wings are silent? For I do not know how it can speak to you, especially one who walks around blind and deaf most times, two-leg.
I do not have the wolf heart. I must seek Owl to hear them. Otherwise, I would not. Unclear. Everything unclear. everything now placed on what the guru will do. Neither wolf nor man.
Neither wolf nor man, but if warborn Garu still.
Have talked with other crescent moons. It would not go to summer country. It would not go to ancestral home in death. It could go to atrocity, bring many banes. It could go somewhere else. We do not know. Dangerous.
Dangerous, yes, but dangerous maybe for different reasons. As once again begins circling you, it is the tale old. We have heard it howls of some time ago, when Talons walked amongst humans to learn, played with each other, and brought forth the first warborn of Griffin's tribe. Decided whelp must be crushed, killed. Great Arun took it within his jaws and crushed it after slaying the parents. The tribe, or the great pack, broke apart. There, wolf heart and human mind in conflict. Child might do the same for nation, whether it is right or wrong.
Spoke to Desert Pelt about this. Desert Pelt has seen much. Desert Pelt recalled two litanies. One for the Black Spiral Dancers. A litany that could be broken. Presented different fate. We have spoken to many of a silver pack connected to Phoenix. To understand prophecy more. To act. Death of whelp might be fate. Must be complete. Death has changed. This I know from my tribe.
Spoken to the whelp's compromise. Child may have to live. Who knows? As you hear then a deep growl from Night Hunter as he lunges at Blazing River briefly, turns and looks, his eyes like burning amber. He looks you up and down. Chatter, you all do. I am no predator king like my packmate, so I will not stand for insults at whelp's compromise. That is the human mind speaking. Turns and looks around. It is interesting. Child, not sure. All of you Hamids who have come to deal with this perfect child. My wolf heart tells me that it might be a potential predator. And to deal with a predator that runs in one's territory is to kill it before it takes prey or turns you into prey. But my wolf heart also knows when Garu are Garu, and that the warborn are Garu at heart, and thus not tied to the wind in the spiral.
I do not have a wolf heart, so I ask, is this balance? The balance lost by humans, the balance lost by Gaia.
Blazing River goes, the apes never had balance. Gifted cunning from the worm, lack patience from the weaver. They have always been imbalanced. Now they swarm. Gaia is dying. Then one of the she-wolves speaks up, and Haunting Howl goes, you look to prophecy. But it seems other tribes are like Talons. We know prophecy is coming, but we do not know the words and how to stop it until after the moment has passed. You wish to saddle 5 with this burden to look after this perfect warborn.
There must be unity. There must be a decision. Anything else is weakness and wrong and is not the predator. There must be those 5 to know and to act, so we are no longer divided.
The Garu are divided, she says, because human mind creates divisions when none should be there. They make their packs too large, and thus must divide them, to fight amongst themselves. Too many Garu come from the apes. Too many Garu do the same now. They have lost the purity to see, to smell, and to act with instinct.
You are likely right. So this is something we must recognize. The Stargazers have already left, how many Warborn will leave to?
Blazing River speaks up. It seems likely, though, I think Shadow Lords are right. The Margrave is right. End Child. And the Red Talons know, as you see kind of a gleam in his eyes, that something greater will come because of it.
It is not the only one. I predict there will be more. Our warriors will have to be ready. Why I ask for that pack? We must be ready. And if something greater comes, at least the decision made, and we acted maybe with more than just our mind.
It is not something that will crawl out of the Umbra greater that comes. No. Speaking blandly, as you can kind of like the smell of the chase from Blazing River, the smell of a wolf ready to pounce upon prey, Margrave promises something and promises to answer a question.
We do not know. What does the Margrave promise?
The Margrave promises to answer the question. The question the Red Talons have asked all the tribes. If you cannot remember, then it is because you have never cared what the Talons think.
I do have an inkling that we had a conversation with a Red Talon, even maybe within the last game year, that referenced this question, but...
Actually, because you do have eidetic memory, it was when Mark used his marking of the ancestor spirit, asking him what is the answer to the first question, or the question of the Talons, and when he gave no answer, which the question is, how are the Garu to deal with humanity and the Red Talons able to deal with humanity without killing them?
Kyle will just recite that question.
Blazing River nods, or Blazing River stands and just stares at you. Tail neutral, gazing with expectation, as does the rest of the pack. Though you do notice that Forest Whisper seems to move a little bit. She changes her tail position from time to time.
From the out-of-character perspective, I'm pretty sure you don't. But maybe some of y'all have thought about this for a while. Other than lowering the veil, maybe.
That would certainly be a pretty effective way of getting them to understand what's actually happening.
Probably wouldn't work out in our favor.
Probably not. With Litany especially, but...
Hippy werewolves told me to stop driving my car. They can pry it from my cold, dead hands.
No, I think the actual answer is like, hey, look at all of these companies and these members of the government who are actually trying to end the world and setting them to war with each other is the most, like, let them kill each other. That's the answer.
I mean, it seems like a pretty good answer. Just let them kill each other. Fine. I don't think we have an answer yet.
Or just a really bad one.
I suspect the simple answer we give is going to be met with the Red Talons or someone else has tried this and failed.
Mm-hmm.
And any sufficiently complicated answer we give is going to be this is mostly chatter and not a viable answer for the Red Talons.
Yeah, over and over again, they're prey that's, you know, humans were the prey that became predators, kind of. Still breed like prey, though, and they only do it because of large numbers. Right, I agree. Like, any super complex answer is going to be like, no, that's stupid. You know. Like, yeah, you're right. No one wants the answer to be, you don't.
Right.
Because we love our kin. And to ask me to kill my kin is completely unacceptable. I have no idea what the greatest living theurge on the planet might have told them, or is prepared to tell them.
It is then that Night Hunter speaks up. We simply wish to know. I don't wish, as he looks over at his companion, for the end of all humanity. I have seen some amongst the kin who can be taught a bit, but they have been touched by Gaia and constantly taught by predators. But something must happen. The first war has already started again, but in reverse. Humanity hunts us, kill our kin. They kill our kin in such numbers that when we did it to them, the Garu called a great concordant and created the laws of litany without the red talons. Now that our kin die, why do the Hamids stand idly by and not call a new concordant, either to cull or do something else? They have been given some time to answer this question.
It is the same reason we condemn the parents of Krenos born. It is the love of one's kin that then grew and made blind to the faults of what could happen. And no one could make the decision to do what must happen in dark times as apocalypse looms. And no one likely will.
Horus Whisper speaks up as she moves around. She seems almost fey. And she moves back and forth as she goes, Margrave, as she raises her tail, gives answer, brings tail neutrally, gives off almost smells of sadness mixed with joy. Margrave has many answers. But yes, the first war, once again, smell of sorrow or sadness as she ducks and tucks her tail a bit, but the hackles go up in aggression with the tail down as if out of submission, comes and it speaks and it is killing the kin. You say you were blind, but surely not all wolf are related to Garu, but there are so few that we must treat them all as our kin. But there are so many humans. Not all of them are your kin. So I ask, why can we not?
The human mind is louder than the wolf heart.
You get some irritation now in the throat of Night Hunter. Growling, the wolf looms over you. Growling, heckles up, tail up to show dominance as he gives a deep growl and your nostrils are just filled with aggression as he speaks or he moves and nips at your feet, biting, forcing you to walk backwards as he nips back and forth as he growls and snaps and you hear, you are predator. You have patience. You are Garu. You are predator. You know cunning and patience. You see problem. Why have you found no patience to find a wolf heart if you know it is weak?
Zeb will, in lupus form, he will whine. He will submit a bit, showing his throat. Have killed human kin. Kin who fell. Remember what it means. No choice is looming. Have waited, because I remember.
He bites your throat just a little bit, lets go, and looks at you. Then why not first war? Why do the Garu not bring it back?
1,000 humans is nothing. 100,000, nothing. 1,000,000, 10,000,000, 100,000,000, nothing. It would be only years before they returned. Mere years.
Does the wolf stop hunting every year?
But the banes created from the sorrow, from the pain of the other humans, would be greater than any the Garu have ever dealt with.
Banes could be problem, says Forest Whisperer. She moves again, once again, Faye, as she gives off kind of the conflicting smells almost as her heckles raise and she goes, but kill small settlements. Kill, use the gifts of the Talons to hide our tracks. Whole towns abandon, reclaimed by Gaia. Chip away, with Gaia growing stronger and fewer humans in the world to create such banes. Surely, we are old, says Blazing River. We will not make them suffer like they make our kin suffer. Swift.
This is what Zeb means when he says the human mind is louder than the wolf heart. It is not the humans you kill that will bring about those banes. It is the fear in the ones that remain, the sorrow they feel at the loss of those who have gone. They are connected over many, many miles, far more than even most Garu. Across the world, one could feel the pain of loss of one Hamid here.
I have seen how Hamid's... This is Blazing River again. I have seen the Hamid's sorrow. It passes in days. It is not deep. They do not wish it because their dead companions no longer give them anything. I have seen Hamids kill each other in violent outbursts, and for the fun of it, their ability to feel such sorrow seems hollow to me.
It is often hollow, but when it comes with fear, it is often permanent. Our home in Colorado, the deaths of just one or two have changed the entire culture into fear and danger for many.
Is wolf fear no less important, or are there simply too few because you refuse to act?
It is no less important.
What of the sorrow of the bird who must scream their songs, for the notes are drowned out by the false claws and the false running beasts of the Hamids? What of the sorrow of the birds, the squirrels, the soil, when trees are felled and their home destroyed? What of the agony of the hare, whose fur, white as snow, no longer hides them because humanity has stolen the snow from the earth? What of the serpent who crawls and eats and is crushed and killed because they crossed a garden and did no harm to no others, and the fear it feels? What of the wolves who grow hungry because game grows scarce, with humans penning in prey and still killing wild animals and shooting wolves with their false claws, and then they have to enter the pens to eat, and then are fired again with false claws and killed because there is nowhere to go? What of the forest who shakes with agony, for it cannot spread beyond the bounds of what humans call parks and reserves?
Well, it's also not like we haven't killed people before. We kill people to maintain the veil. We kill people because they're doing shitty things. We've just killed people to kill people. Well, because of rage rolls, but yeah.
I mean, part of the problem, though, is even with the solution they put forth, is settlements, right? You end up with a mythos, a fear, that could grow into something much greater.
And don't forget just basic human curiosity. Even with those entire settlements disappearing, there's going to be curious minds that were gonna go check it out. You know, like with, I would imagine even in World of Darkness, you got supernatural hunters. Not like the hunters, but like, you know, the YouTubers, the, you know, for clickbait, you know, the ghost hunters, the, you know, the supernatural hunters for the views and the videos. And then there's like, you know, the paranormal studiers. They would definitely be attracted to settlements just up and disappearing, or small cities just up and disappearing.
Well, I mean, they're banking on the fact that the Red Towns are, right? They're banking on the fact that when they do this, they're not going to get caught. No one's going to know it was them. No one's going to have any idea, you know, or they'll assume something else.
Definitely. Because but
out of character, they have a gift that allows them to lick their like the damage they did to bodies and turn them into looking like bullet wounds and knife wounds.
Oh, okay. But even with they're not looking for Garu, it would still attract human attention.
Sure.
Or just other things.
Right. Knife and bullet wounds attract police because they think there's a gang war going on.
Yeah.
And I mean, it depends. You kill all the humans around Glacial National Park or whatever the heck. Yeah. You're just going to keep on doing it.
And it's still very likely that even if there's, like, you know, Red Talon patrols and whatnot, a human could still not succumb to delirium and somehow garner the attention in their talks and their posts and whatnot.
It
of those people that we don't want the attention from. Magadon, Pentax, mages.
It risks the veil because, right, people are going to come and look. And it won't just be normal humans. It'll be, like you said, other people will come and look. And then at that point, that becomes the whole war. The whole war is now this. And we left, theoretically, the Concord, when it took place, it left humanity alone so we could go fight the worm and figured it would be okay. And then it wasn't. And by that time, it was too late. I mean, I know how I'd start this, at least for that portion of the reply, but I mean, it's going to take a million left turns and right turns, right? Like, it's going to twist pretty quick. So I don't want to kick some shit off and then all of a sudden we're right back here.
I mean, the best argument that I have is not an argument. It's just me saying, hey, we fucked up and it's too late. And the apocalypse is here. And if you killed every human tomorrow, all of them at once, the apocalypse would still happen in the next 3 or 4 years. It would still happen, and we would have spent a lot of time killing humans instead of trying to weaken the worm before it gets here.
Right. And even if your counter is killing the people still harms the worm, it's like, to Adam's point, right? Like, you're harming the veil, and now all you're doing is everyone else piles onto this. Because it's not just idiot humans that you provoke.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you also run the risk of unifying humans.
Well, more than they already have. I mean, they dropped a nuclear weapon in the Umbra, right? Like.
Yeah, I mean that. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I guess we could just go the route then of like, hey, we would lose, like, straight up. It's not that.
Well,
their predator and their prey. It's just that, it, like, actually, if humanity learned about us, we would lose now.
Yeah,
like we fucked up, and
yeah,
the Umbra literally bites us as we enter it because of humans now.
Right,
like
yeah, pretty much. Yeah, the Umbra bites us. The everything is worse, and like yeah. And you already said the numbers don't matter. It's like, yes, go ahead. Kill everyone around your territory. Protect it all you want. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially fine. Meaningless to right. The numbers of humans. But
right. It'll protect your pure lands. Great.
Yeah. I mean, are we okay with that argument of, like,
well,
hey, we'd lose?
I mean, the other part of it is like, well, we're not elders. You want to tell them you want to do this. And if the Margrave says you can, well, okay. You know, you're going to get a whole bunch of Gru that aren't going to go along with this. We are going to fragment over this. But hey, you want to make the Gru Nation compromise? Say that you get special dispensation to kill all the humans that you want. And for once, you can throw it back at the Hamids and say, we compromise all the time. Let's use your word. Let us do this.
So we're basically just telling them, you're wrong, but go off, queen.
And I wouldn't even say you're wrong. I mean, we've made a lot of morally ambiguous deals, and now we're going to tell a group of people, like, you want to protect your homeland and your people and your wolves, and you want to go fucking kill a bunch of people? We're not above killing people. Like, murder was never off the menu for us. Genocide was, but murder wasn't. It's a fine line. It's a numbers gauge when that teeter-totter freaking goes the other way, but, like, we're not so morally clean and lily white here, right? You know?
Yeah.
This is not Sean Wolf's opinion on murder and genocide. I mean, I think we know where we can start, and really, so I mean, to Sam's point, yeah, go off, queen. Okay, fine. The Margrave lets you do this. Then do it. Protect your territory. Know that the rest of the nation won't go with this. Know that there are so many Hamid-born that they won't stand. The numbers won't make a difference. It risks the veil. To protect the veil and protect our lands, we kill people all the time. But this is a battle that's already been lost, and to do it again would distract us from Gaia because it would become the whole war like it did the last time.
Mm-hmm. And not only would that be a physical front, it'd be a spiritual front for them.
It causes more problems than it solves.
Yeah.
but go up, queen.
Yeah, well, yeah. You guys want to force it at that point? You've compromised enough.
Yeah.
As a tribe, you get your way. Everyone's fucking afraid of you. Go ahead. Like,
I think this is a good argument. Just phrased for the context
of
the setting right now.
Yeah.
Because right now it's just a bunch of wolves hanging out at a table. Oh, you want to go? You want to go off? Then go off.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I'll fucking go for it then.
All right. You want to start or yeah?
Yeah. I'll start us off with basically my contribution to it, and if anyone else wants to lend their parts of that, I think that's reasonable because a lot of people had different pieces of that. None of these tragedies are lesser. The sorrows all still hurt, but the Hamids have power. Truly, more power than we do. Human namers caused the Umbra to hurt us when we enter it. Perhaps forever. A thing I had never thought could happen. With devices they have many of, you can say that we waited too long, and you are likely very right, but we are already here now.
Fear, Blazing River speaks up. You spoke of it earlier, that fear would cause pain and banes, but fear is not inherently of the worm. I, unlike the rest of my pack, as he turns his head and you see the burn-scarred side of his face, as you see the lips kind of move back so you can see the ruined gums underneath as well, I have no qualms. I am a predator king. I believe every last human dying would be a boon to Gaia, and that the worm would cease its endless mission to make our mother tear herself apart and would simply rejoin the wind. But I, as he turns the not burned side of his face, the fur kind of looking, his amber eyes kind of gleaming, am not unreasonable. I have learned to speak and think like my enemy. As he shifts into Hamid form, as he stands in his ragged kind of clothes, his half-burned arm there, he looks like he's maybe in his early 20s or his late 20s, early 30s, as he stands there and he clutches the scarred side. I am willing to be blind and deaf to speak to you if you would only see us as equals. But even your tribe, Unicorn, has cast us aside as bloodletters. You have asked us to compromise every step of the way. Since the dawn of creation, and then some time later at the end of the First War, and then some time later to joining the War of Rage, time and time again, you have asked the Talons to compromise. If you do mean for this child to live, and you wish Gaia's Inferno on your side, as he just points to you with his ragged burnt arm, what are you willing to compromise on? What are you willing to do? Because we have sat and watched our children drink from streams only to watch their insides rot. I have watched my pack engulfed in flames because human arrogance set the river ablaze. What have you seen? And what will you do? It has never about been when will you rage, for we rage now because we have seen untold sorrows. And we are told we are unrealistic when we wish to take our rage upon those who have unleashed these horrors upon us.
Like I said before, I guess we say we support their bid to kill all the humans they need to do to secure their land and protect their tribe.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the best that we've got.
Zeb will turn, like, his more disgusting side of his face versus the less disgusting side of his face, both being equally so. He will raise his hackles and stand. His tail will point. He will stand, like, in front of Dimitri, but very close to him. You must defend your lands and your tribes. We would support anything that you must do to make this happen. It is we who should compromise with you then. On that point, it is time for us to allow you to do what you must do.
Accepted. That is the deal of the Margrave. I ask something else from the nation. If you support this bid at the Concordant, then we will agree, and we will stand with the child, for Gaia gives us prophecy. And perhaps with other tribes, they will be able to see what the Talons are unable to see, haunted by the future, knowing that what will come, but not knowing it until it arrives. For every elder in a sept, the sept must find one human who they feel is the most foul, the most worm-tainted, and they must hunt them and kill them. That is our price.
Worm-tainted, but not Fomori.
Yes, or who have done the most for the worm, taint or no upon their person. If they command others to carry the taint with them so that they believe their hands are clean, show them that their blood is filth.
Zeb will look at Kyle. Zeb will look forward. The ill omens are agreed. We will aid you in this.
As are Fomori's bane.
Then the deal is made. As he stands tall and he extends his hand out, his ragged burned hand, to shake the hand of both alphas.
Zeb will shift to Hamid and take his hand.
Kyle will do the same with his gnarled hand.
And then Blazing River shifts to Lupus again and gives out a howl. Then the rest of his pack add, and then you hear the wolves in the distance of the cairn itself. The primordial forest shaken. For a second, you can almost hear the trees as they shake and quiver. For the fury of the Red Talons seems to have leached into the very earth itself at the injustices their tribe has faced over the ages.
Well, shift back to Lupus. And is it time to go?
But where to?
Well, we've got, what, 10 days left?
More.
No, the, more.
Oh, yeah. A month.
Yeah, about a month. As you guys start heading back, it's another 3 days to get to Tower Falls, because that's the closest cairn. And the Red Talons are absolutely not letting you stay here, right? Is you get there, and William's cell phone goes off with the SIM card removed.
Zeb will hold out his hand and answer, Jebediah Fess.
As you hear the same distorted voice from before.
Hi, it's been some time.
Time is an illusion that shackles the mind. What can I do for you?
Well, here's the thing. Before, you and your little friends were curiosity to me. Little children who had something unwanted. Now you have my attention. I rather liked my house, and the inconvenience you caused me requires me to take a more direct interest with you all. And I assure you, you will wish you never felt joy in your life. But the memory of it will be too painful knowing that I will prevent you from ever feeling it again by the time I'm done with you. Now I have a question for Cora.
Zeb will kind of hold the phone out.
As the phone just turns on to speaker.
It's for you.
Thanks.
Did you know Eleanor was doing things for your fellow wolf form who couldn't change? It's a shame, really. Smuggling weapons. It's an even bigger shame when someone calls the cops on someone like that, isn't it?
I don't think Cora has anything to say to him.
Fair enough, as he just goes.
Your silence is telling. I just want you to sit with one question. Does it take magic, just a shift, just a push, to make a cop anxious enough to pull the trigger prematurely? Or do you think they'll do it on their own? Do you think I'll waste the effort to find out? How did I find out about your little cousin? Was it through magic? Was it through an old friend? Was it because my tendrils in your little commune go deeper than you know? Questions to ponder. I look forward to our next social call.
Click.
I feel like that's a rage roll for Korra. What do you feel like? That's what
that
I
feels
thought.
Like, that feels yeah. like a good rage roll. Let me check out the phase of the moon. It feels like a rage roll for Korra. Let me find out what the phase of the moon is.
Like, I don't want to fuck it up, but...
No, fair. I appreciate your honesty for what Korra would do. It would be diff 7 because you're athro.
Oh, not 99. No, man. No, ma'am.
You will absolutely succeed that one. I promise. You do not frenzy as you feel the rage just well up inside you, but you keep control.
Okay. We're big mad. We're so big mad.
Kyle's just going to hug Korra.
Well, if our course wasn't back to Sacred Stone, I'm guessing that means that our course is going to be back to Sacred Stone. Well, upon fully exiting the territory.
Yes.
We should at least do a rest or heal to get this lethal off of us. Or has that already occurred?
No, because we got to, because you got to do the run again, actually, because you didn't stop to fully rest at the Red Talon Cairn. So you do have to do 3 more rolls, actually, because you had to run again 3 days. So 3 more stamina athletics rolls to see if you gain any more lethal and potentially die if you fail all of them. Kyle takes 1 lethal.
Ooh, my 3rd roll was not so good.
That's okay. Or it was a botch, wasn't it? So that means you take, you take 2 lethal on that one, and that you're lame.
Yep, I'm injured and lame.
So you'll have to probably spend the night here at Tower Falls, unless you want to go fight the good doctor lame and half dead.
I will beseech my packmates and allies for us to rest at Towers Falls. Not only for physical, but also spiritual and emotional rest.
What are you doing up here?
Alright. You guys get there? A little worse for wear for some of you, especially Mark. As you guys finally get to a halting stop, as you notice Mark's front left paw is swollen and it's cut and bleeding. He's been bleeding for the last half mile. As you finally stop, he gives out a big breath and some blood leaks from his jaws.
I don't think I could do another force march like that. I'm gonna need to rest. Good thing we got here in time, though.
I agree, we should rest. I took some hurt, too, on our first leg of our journey to the Red Talons.
As you guys rest, it's the next day, because you're not in Hamid form, you heal all the lethal, or Dimitri's in Lupus form, so probably shifts to something else and then heals everything. Mm-hmm. Good thing you didn't tell the Talons you were Lupus. They all thought you were Hamid.
That's a good thing.
It sure is.
I thought they were going to sniff me out.
As the moon bridge opens, you get ready to move on to Sacred Stone. Worry in your hearts, but that is a story for next time. Thank you to everyone who listened. We'll catch you in that next episode. Bye.
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 See you then.
Bye.